the bulletin was getting really full. I didn't want you to believe that we weren't going to do Scripture in a shorter sermon, so it's sort of truncated there. But Daniel and I will tag team and lead you through the lectionary readings for today. So, Reverend?
Our Hebrew Bible this morning lesson comes from the book of Exodus. It's chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. You can find it, if you'd like to follow along, on page 63 in the Hebrew Bible section of your pew Bible, and on page 82 if you're using the large print edition. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents, to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountains smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me ask you now to turn into your United Methodist hymnal to Psalm 19. It's toward the back there, page 750 and 751. Psalm 19, page 750, 751. I know I usually give you it written in advance and you get to find it. I apologize. So let us, as is our custom, do this in responsorial reading. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them God has set a tent for the sun, which runs forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Also keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
And our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. It can be found on page 187 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 242 if you're using the large print edition. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be.
Let me ask you now all to rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel according to Matthew, verse 21, verses 33 through 46. In your Pew Bible, you'll find it, in the New Testament on page 22. And if you are reading in the large print edition, it's on page 29. Hear these words, and these words are directly from Jesus. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owners of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, to Jesus, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. There are few statements that ought to bring more skepticism and more fear to your heart than to hear a preacher in the pulpit utter the following phrase, "I'll be brief." But that truly is my intention today, to be brief. The Bible readings for today strike me as nearly perfect for this occasion. Today we come together as three various communities of faith, and yet we are one unified body of Christ. We come together to celebrate World Communion Sunday and our 60-something anniversary of mission and ministry as Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. God is above and beyond time. God looks at our concept of linear time and recognizes our human understanding of past, present, and future. Yet, God sees all at once and beyond. Psalm 19 reminds us of God's omnipotence, God's omniscience, and God's omnipresence. Since creation, God has always desired to be in covenant relationship with us, His creatures, both individually and as a community. That is the whole point of the Ten Commandments from Exodus. The Bible documents our long human history of drawing close to God and then returning to our sinful nature and falling away from God's grace. But God has never given up on us through the millennia of the history of salvation. Humans have certainly complicated this glorious covenantal relationship, but it really is quite simple. When Jesus explained it to Nicodemus, He also explained the rationale for our faith and in turn for the church. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And that is good news indeed. As we think about who we are as people of Jesus Christ, we are also reminded of the mission of the United Methodist Church, that is, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. This should govern everything we do as this unified body of Christ, every action that we take. It is, however, even more direct than that. I believe that Paul was very clear in the bedrock rationale for our sharing the good news of Jesus. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Alleluia. As you think back over the past 60 years of our church, you may well have memories of good times and sad times, welcomes and goodbyes, baptisms, and lots of funerals. And as we consider the next 60 years of this church, we may be hesitant, maybe even fearful, because there is little we can see with certainty. We cannot know the future, but we do know this: God will lead us if we are obedient and humble. In us and through us, God will bring about the kingdom of heaven. And we will continue to proclaim and to preach and to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul said to the Philippians, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His suffering by becoming like Him in His death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. My sisters and brothers, let us today remember and celebrate the past and those saints, those many saints who have gone before us. And then let us turn our eyes forward to work together for God's future, to press on toward Christ. Amen.